Once upon a time, there was a man who decided to go into business for himself. He borrowed some money, he went out and he bought a shoe store. He said to himself, I'm going to stock my store with the very best shoes I can find. So he hunted, he did a lot of searching, till he found a perfect pair, beautiful brown wingtip shoes that fit him perfectly. His shoes were so beautiful, so perfect, he decided to order 100 pairs of brown wingtip shoes, size 11.5D. He stocked his store with those shoes and he was open for business. After 2 months, he had only sold 2 pairs of shoes. And he couldn't figure it out. He says, what's wrong with these people? Isn't anybody interested in shoes? Crazy story? Of course. But when it comes to the church, perhaps sadly believable. What no business owner in his right mind would ever do, many churches have been doing for years. Of course, we're not here to sell shoes. In fact, we're not here to sell anything. We're here to give something away, to give away the free gift of God's love and forgiveness, eternal life in Jesus Christ, the best deal in town by far. But if we insist that there is only one way of offering that gift, only one way of talking about God, only one way of worshiping God, only one way of teaching the Bible, and only 1 hour of the week in which to do it, how are we any different from that man with his 98 pairs of 11.5D brown wingtips? So in our second lesson for today, one of the greatest preachers who ever lived lets us in on his own approach to spreading the gospel. Paul's number one goal was the same as our number one goal today: to reach people with the good news of Jesus and to win souls to Christ. Now, Paul was utterly dedicated to the message God had entrusted to him, this good news of Jesus. Paul refused to tamper with that message. He refused to water it down or dumb it down for the sake of his audience. And yet, it was because he was so deeply committed to the good news, to spreading that gospel to every man, woman, and child he met, that he also had to be supremely flexible in how he delivered that message, his tactics. To the Jews, I became as a Jew, he says. To Gentiles, I became as a Gentile. To the weak, I became weak. I have become all things to all people that I might by all means save some of them. Paul knew that although the message God had called him to preach never changes, that message does not exist in a single, unalterable form for us to lay on all people with a here it is, take it or leave it kind of attitude. Paul met people where they were. He spoke their language. He phrased the gospel in ways that spoke to their deepest needs and longings. You can see this in the book of Acts when you read some of Paul's sermons and see how he adapted his presentation of the gospel to different audiences. And God has given us that same freedom and responsibility to shape and reshape the message we proclaim so that the people of our community will be able to hear it. If we have the same passionate desire Paul had to save souls for Christ, we also will be improvising and experimenting with the methods we use, with new ways of talking about God, new ways of worshiping God, new ways of living out our faith in God for the people of our community. Not for the sake of novelty, not to follow the latest fad, but as Paul did, for the sake of the gospel, that we may share its blessings. So if we want to be effective evangelists, then we need to know the people that we're reaching out to. How do our neighbors experience life? What are their deepest needs, their dreams, their fears? their hopes, their problems. How might the good news of Jesus connect with their lives? How can we present the good news in a way that really is good news to those who most need to hear it around us? This month at Emmanuel, we are embarking on a new venture that will take our congregation beyond the four walls of our church into our neighborhood with the good news of Jesus. It's a journey of faith and discovery called LEAD, and it begins with listening to God, who is already out there in our community calling us to join him in doing the work of the kingdom. We will listen to God in scripture and prayer to understand more fully the message God wants us to deliver to the people of our community, to deliver in word and in action, and also to understand why it is so urgently important to get that message out. We also listen to God in the congregation as God speaks to us through all of our members and worshipers, especially listening to those voices that we may be least likely to hear, to know who we are as the bearers of that message and to know how God has gifted us to reach out to our community in Jesus' name. And we go out into the neighborhood to listen with open ears, with open minds and hearts. Listen to God as he speaks to us in our neighbors, as they share their joys and sorrows, their hopes and fears, as we discover the sweet spot where we can work together with our neighbors to be part of what God is already doing here in our neighborhood, to heal broken lives, to restore shattered dreams, and to build God's kingdom in this place. We have assembled a lead team of seven people who will be going to their first training seminar next Friday and Saturday, the 16th and 17th, and whom we will then pray over, commission, and send out to engage the congregation in this great listening and the work that will follow from it. And you'll be hearing more about this in the weeks and months ahead. So why are we trying a new way of doing things here at Emmanuel? After 258 years, you would think by now we would have it all worked out. Well, of course, that's because, although the gospel hasn't changed in 258 years, our world has and is always changing. And the future of God's church lies in our passionate engagement with the gospel, that burning desire to share the good news of Jesus in new ways to reach new people in a new and changing world. It's all worth it, worth any price we pay for the people of this community to hear the good news of Jesus in a way that connects with their lives, so that those whom the Spirit chooses can be drawn into a life-transforming relationship with Jesus Christ. It is worth it, as Paul says, for the sheer joy of being able to share with our neighbors the good news of Jesus, to share in that blessing of bringing others to Christ. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we come to your table today to receive your body and blood, fill our hearts with your blazing passion for the good news. Give us an unquenchable thirst to share with our neighbors the good news of your love, that all may come to know you as Savior and Lord. Amen.